Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Spy and the Traitor by Ben McIntyre recounts one of the most consequential intelligence operations of the Cold War through the life of Oleg Gordievsky, a senior KGB officer who secretly worked for British intelligence. Built from publicly reported history, declassified context, and widely discussed accounts of the period, the book reads like a thriller while staying rooted in real-world geopolitics, tradecraft, and the psychological strain of double agency. McIntyre frames Gordievsky's story against a backdrop of nuclear tension, ideological confrontation, and mutual misperception between the Soviet Union and the West. Rather than focusing only on gadgets and covert meetings, the narrative explores recruitment, trust, betrayal, and the bureaucratic machinery of intelligence services. It also highlights the fragile role of information in preventing catastrophe, showing how a single well-placed source could influence assessments at the highest levels. The result is an accessible, fast-moving portrait of espionage as lived experience and as statecraft. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from true believer to dissident insider. A central theme is the gradual transformation of a Soviet intelligence officer into a secret opponent of the system he served. The book tracks how ideology, personal observation, and disillusionment can shift loyalty over time, especially when someone is stationed abroad and sees a different reality than the one promoted at home. Gordievsky's evolution is presented as a process rather than a sudden conversion shaped by exposure to repression, hypocrisy, and the moral compromises expected within the KGB. This arc matters because it shows that espionage often begins with psychology and values long before it becomes a set of operational acts. The story also illuminates the KGB as an institution, not just a monolithic villain, but an organization with career incentives, internal rivalries, and a pervasive culture of suspicion. By focusing on the human pressures inside Soviet intelligence, the narrative helps readers understand why a high-ranking officer might take immense risks, and how personal conscience can collide with state demands. The result is a nuanced portrayal of betrayal that asks what loyalty means when a government and a nation are not the same thing. Secondly, recruitment and the long game of trust. The book emphasizes that successful agent handling depends less on cinematic theatrics and more on patience, discipline, and sustained trust. Recruitment is portrayed as a careful assessment of motivation, vulnerability, and reliability, followed by years of controlled contact and incremental collaboration. McIntyre explores how British intelligence would have needed to balance the desire for information with the obligation to protect the source, especially when the source is a senior adversary official whose exposure would be fatal. This topic highlights classic tradecraft principles, compartmentalization, secure communications, surveillance awareness, and the constant effort to reduce predictable patterns. It also underlines that trust in espionage is paradoxical, built between people who cannot be fully transparent and who operate under asymmetric risk. For the handler, there is the fear of deception or provocation. For the agent, there is the fear of betrayal, incompetence, or political abandonment. The narrative shows how small procedural choices can have strategic consequences because a stable relationship produces not just raw intelligence but context, interpretation, and early warning. This long game becomes especially important when the intelligence has the potential to influence leaders during periods of heightened tension. Thirdly, intelligence as statecraft. During nuclear tension, a major thread is how intelligence reporting can shape national decision-making at the highest level, particularly when misunderstandings could lead to catastrophic escalation. The Cold War was not only a conflict of weapons and alliances, but also of perceptions, threat assessments, and signals. The book illustrates how information from a well-placed source could clarify what the other side feared, intended, and misread. It presents a world in which leaders and agencies interpret fragmentary data, while both blocs worry about surprise attack, political instability, and provocation. This topic also explores the feedback loop between intelligence and policy. Intelligence can support a hard line, but it can also warn against overreaction if it reveals that the adversary is acting defensively or under internal pressure. The story underscores that espionage is not just about stealing secrets, but about preventing worst-case assumptions from becoming self-fulfilling. Readers see how a single channel of credible insight can reduce uncertainty and thereby reduce risk, especially when military exercises, rhetorical posturing, and ideological mistrust are all at their peak. In this sense, the narrative positions intelligence as a form of crisis management and strategic translation. Fourthly, the KGB world, paranoia, control, and counterintelligence. Another important topic is the environment in which Soviet intelligence officers operated, marked by internal surveillance, rigid hierarchy, and the omnipresent threat of counterintelligence. The book depicts how paranoia is not merely a personal trait, but an institutional logic, reinforced by historical purges, political policing, and the belief that enemies are everywhere. This atmosphere creates a distinctive professional culture, loyalty tests, guarded speech, and constant monitoring that can turn colleagues into hazards. The narrative also shows that counterintelligence is as much about organizational self-protection as it is about identifying real threats. Suspicion can be used to settle scores, enforce conformity, or demonstrate vigilance to superiors. For a double agent, these conditions multiply risk because exposure can come from a minor lapse, a routine review, or an unrelated internal dispute. The story highlights the practical implications of living under scrutiny, managing stress, maintaining a plausible identity, and enduring isolation. It also helps readers appreciate why the Soviet system could simultaneously produce competent officers and trap them in fear-driven processes that distorted judgment. Understanding this world makes the eventual unraveling more comprehensible and more tense. Lastly, escape, exfiltration, and the cost of survival. The final topic centers on what happens when clandestine work collapses into urgent survival, the mechanics and emotional weight of extraction. Exfiltration is portrayed as a high-stakes operation that depends on preparation, timing, and contingency planning, yet still leaves little margin for error. The book explores the pressure on all parties involved, the agent who must follow a plan while under intense suspicion, the handlers who must coordinate support without exposing networks, and the political leaders who must weigh diplomatic fallout against moral responsibility. This part of the story also brings the human cost into sharp focus. Espionage is often judged by the intelligence delivered, but the personal aftermath can be long and complicated, involving separation from family, identity rupture, and the burden of knowing that others may suffer consequences. The narrative invites readers to consider whether extraction is an ending or merely a new phase of constraint, where safety comes with loss and public attention can replace secrecy. By focusing on survival and its aftermath, the book widens the lens beyond operations to the enduring consequences of choices made in secrecy, and it reinforces the central idea that espionage is ultimately a human drama. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy narrative nonfiction, Cold War history, and true stories of high-stakes decision-making. It also fits anyone curious about how intelligence work actually functions, including the slow accumulation of trust, the constant management of risk, and the way small actions can echo at national scale. The story can benefit a reader's life by sharpening awareness of incentives, information quality, and the danger of assuming the worst about opponents. It offers a practical lesson in how misperception and fear can drive systems toward crisis, and how credible insight can help leaders avoid unnecessary escalation. Compared with many espionage books that lean on mythology or overly technical detail, McIntyre's strength is clarity and momentum paired with a strong sense of character. The narrative keeps the focus on human choices inside large institutions, making the strategic stakes understandable without diluting complexity. As a purchase, it stands out because it blends history, psychological portrait, and operational tension into a cohesive account that feels immediate while remaining grounded in widely documented events. Readers finish with a deeper appreciation for the moral ambiguity and personal cost behind the headlines of the Cold War. If you would like to support Ben McIntyre, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.